That includes me. All right, let's pray. God, thanks for these big guys. I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for their parents and the ones who've poured into them with your gospel. Lord, I pray that you would feed them through your word today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Lord willing, we'll get back into our regular study of Romans next week in Romans 9. I think that's where we left off. I wanted to start by wishing you all a happy new year. Thank you. We celebrate, right? I believe we serve an infinitely happy God who loves to be joyful and loves to celebrate. When we celebrate God and his glory, we should celebrate. We should be happy about it. God did not save us to be miserable Christians, although you would think otherwise. Sometimes you think, oh, these people left their fun behind when they came to Christ. We can get that way, can't we? Christians. Seems like we can hate everything. Miserable Christians, angry at the world, hostile to each other, grumpy, grumbling, complaining, joyless, unhappy. It's not a representation of who God is and what God has done in our lives. I'm not saying that we don't have difficulties like everybody else, or that we don't suffer, or that we can't weep, or that we can't mourn or shed tears. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we put no obstacles in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions and hardships and calamities and beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. Do so by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as imposters and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is who we are. We face the difficulties in life, but we bring them to our God of hope, and he changes our perspective, or he gives us the right perspective. And so we don't live like the rest of the world. God's not a God of hope. What are we doing? What are we here for? Right? If there's not more joy or more happiness or more satisfaction or more fulfillment in Jesus Christ in eternity with him than in earthly pleasures, then why are we following him? It's a greater thing. When we come to Christ, we're choosing the greater joy, the greater happiness, the greater blessing over a lesser joy. And we need to remember that when we're tempted to be the miserable Christian. Do we just want heaven tickets punched so that our eternity is not merely one of punishment? I'll tell you that I am not excited about sitting on a cloud playing a harp in an eternity. It doesn't sound like fun to me. That's not what it is, right? It's not what it's about. God gives us a new life. When he gives you, when he brings you to saving faith, when he causes you to be born again, your spiritual eyes are open to see the world how it really is. He gives us new life to enter into the joy of our master. It's a joyful life that he's called us to. And so that our joy in him would be full. So we are celebrators of God. We look to see God. He's out there. His glory fills the world. So we look to see it and recognize it and enjoy it. That's what we do. We're celebrators of God. And I believe New Year, the New Year, which has been celebrated for thousands of years. This isn't just some new fancy American thing. They've been doing it for a long time. It's a great opportunity to remind ourselves and to celebrate new life that we have. So I want to do that by going through one verse on new life in Jesus Christ and to ponder its implication for our lives. So let's look at Romans 6:4. It says, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Paul's speaking to born-again believers. We too, right? In context, he's urging them to battle sin, not to take the grace of God and the forgiveness of God for granted, but to let that grace and forgiveness compel us to holy living, to godly living. And in making this point, he uses this illustration in the purpose of baptism to emphasize that things are new in Jesus. And he explains it, right? He ties it to baptism. So when the reality is we are dead in our sins, and just as Jesus died on the cross, our old self and our sins with it, our sinful life, were put to death on that cross with him and buried with him. And just as he rose from the dead, we rise new, a new creation, a new person, new life, a new heart, to live in a new way. And so when we get baptized, the whole point of it is to shout out to the world, this happened to me. My old self has died with Christ, has been put to death, and my new self is now alive. So when we go under the water, it's symbolic of dying with Christ. And when we come out of the water, it's symbolic, and we all scream and cheer because it's symbolic of new life. And you're saying to everyone who witnesses, this is who I am. I want you to help me in this new life, and I want you to recognize this is my new life and encourage me and come alongside me, and I'm going to do the same for you. And that's why we celebrate baptism. That's why. And it's the first command. Remember this. It is the first command. We share the gospel. We plead with everyone. You are a sinner who needs your sins forgiven. You need your old self put to death with Christ on the cross. You need to be redeemed and walk in newness of life. Jesus is the only way to do that. So we share that gospel, and that's what we're going to do at Christianity Explored. We share that gospel with others in hoping that God will take those words. We pray to God because God is the only one who can change hearts. And he will change hearts, and he will open eyes, and he will cause to be born again. And then we celebrate together at baptism. And we are commanded to be baptized. It's our first order of obedience. Last week, I talked about Christ being our Lord, right? He's not just our Savior. He's our Lord and Savior. So we are called to obey him from the beginning in our very first act of obedience is baptism. So if you confess him as your Lord and Savior and you have not yet been baptized, I strongly urge you, as someone who loves you and cares for you, to obey that first act of obedience. Come see me. Let's talk about baptism. Let's shout to the world what has happened to you. That expression of new life in Christ. So we can glean from this passage, Romans 6:4, some things to help us joyfully celebrate new life in Christ this new year. First is God's purpose in resurrection. You know that I love those so that's and the because's and the in order that's in our Bibles, because I'm kind of dense and I like it when God really makes it clear why he's done something and the results it should have in my life. And the one we get in Romans 6:4 links that purpose of our baptism to the resurrection of Jesus Christ by God's glory. When Jesus rose from the dead, it wasn't merely to show that he conquered death, although he did, and it was glorious. There were many purposes, but the one here in this passage shows that Jesus knew that this act would unite and link his people to him. People that had not yet been born, had not yet committed any sins that he was dying for, it would unite them to him. People that never saw him face to face, never heard his voice, never even knew people that actually did, thousands of years later, this act of resurrection is what would unite him to them, his heart to them. He knew that when he rose from the dead, that one day we would celebrate baptism like he exemplified for us. And that this celebration would be linked to our unity to him through resurrection. So in the same way that his body was dead and buried, our old self is dead and buried. In the same way he rose, never to die again, our new self is resurrected to live for God. It's new. That's who we are. And I'm going to say new 1,000 times today. So kids, you can get the point. The word is new. You are new in Christ. It's a new year, new in Christ. It's not the same as the old. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's different. There's that hope in the new year, right? That something fresh is here. It's not going to be the same as the old, even if the old was a good year. But if we've had a rough one, we get a chance to put that behind us and have a fresh start with hope. Something is different. We want new chances. We want new opportunities, new perspectives, new mercies. But this, in order that, in Romans 6:14, isn't just meant for information. Jesus Christ has real purpose for those who are united to him, and that is newness, not sameness. We are given a very great, a very precious gift of new life, not the same life now with our heaven tickets. It's a new life. It's as different as death and life. It's as different as darkness and light. It's as different as lost and found. It's as different as love and hate. It's as different as truth and lies. It's new. It's different. If I was going to give you a new truck, you would not like it very much if I just put a fresh coat of paint on my old truck sitting out there. And I was like, here you go, new truck. You'd say, yeah, but it's not really new, is it? Sometimes we just treat it like we're just putting on a fresh coat of paint in this life of Christ. But it's new. It's not the same. Paul's making it crystal clear that things are different now for Christians than they were before. You're united to Jesus in his death so that your sins are forgiven. But that's only half the gift. The other half is being united to him in resurrection so that you can now live. You can now live as you were created to live. So you must treat yourself as new, even if you came to saving faith dozens of years ago. I almost said hundreds. Close. Decades ago, right? If you've never embraced this idea, this promise of newness, let this year be the time when I say, wow, this is who I am. This isn't something you have to do. This isn't something you have to earn. This is something that's been given to you that most of us don't daily embrace. We are new. You got to put off the old stuff then and embrace the new stuff. Consider your old self dead and your new self alive. This is who you really are. This is what Paul says in Colossians 3. There's a lot of it. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Seek the glory of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. And these two you once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there's not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Are you seeing the old in the new? Bless you. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. You see, it's not just, I'll keep going, but it's not just the things that are outwardly expressed. It's the things you're thinking and the things that you're feeling. That battle starts small and it starts internal. Lord, help me not to think that way. I'm new. Help me not to feel those ways. Right? It starts new. Where was I? And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's it. That's the difference between, this is the best biblical example of the difference between the old walk and the new walk. It's different. And it's new, but too often we just let them bleed in together. We're happy that something has happened to us, but too often we just let those old temptations come. So you must gain the realization internally that this is who you are now before you can walk in newness. You are not the same. So remember, Jesus died for your forgiveness, but he was resurrected for your walk in newness. That's an important word in that verse, your walk. So you must walk in it. It's new. It's not the same way. It's not the same perspective. It's not the same goals. It's not the same purpose in life. It's not the same desires in life. It's not the same words and actions. It's new. But it's also actively new. You were raised with Jesus Christ in order that by the glory of God, by the glory of God, that same power that caused Jesus to go from death to life, that caused you to be born again, the glory of God, that you would walk in newness. It's active. It's something that we do. We walk in it. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Galatians 5, 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. 1 John 2, 5 and 6. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. It's walk. It's not just something that happened. You walk in it. So we want to walk by the Holy Spirit in newness of life. It was the glory of God that raised you to new life in Christ. It'll be the glory of God that enables your walk in newness. That means it's motivated by the Holy Spirit to glorify God. Your life. How do I tell what's different and what's new? Is it just once I was not very nice and now I'm nice? Once I didn't go to church, now I go to church? Once I watched these shows and listened to this music, now I didn't? No, your life is now motivated by the glory of God. What I'm doing, the things I'm saying, the things I'm thinking and feeling, my actions, my words are now motivated to bring God glory. That's the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. It's not just these things we do and say. It's what's motivating. I want God to be glorified. So you want to walk in newness to bring God glory, not to bring yourself glory by cleaning yourself up or having a righteousness of your own. The Holy Spirit motivates you to walk in newness. We've already covered that it's not the same as you used to walk, but it's more than that. We have an example in Christ. That's what he said in 1 John. Whoever abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he once walked. So our old way walked the way the rest of the world walked. In sin and out for ourselves and doing everything that the world does. But our new way walks like Jesus walked. And we have a whole Bible full of how that is. We walk in newness in the manner that Jesus walked. We don't give up in our walk. You know, I just found this out. Maybe it's a new holiday. I don't know, it's a holiday. The second Friday of January. You know what it's called? It's Quitter's Day. It's because they've done studies and found that you quit your New Year resolution by the second Friday of January. Some of you have probably already said, well, I thought it was last Friday. Right? We have all this hope. Everything seems new and fresh. I'm gonna go to the gym. I'm gonna diet. I'm gonna do this and do that. And then life happens. And then it's like, oh, it's so easy to go back to the way it was. Or say, maybe next year. Second Friday. The 10th. That's the 10th this year. Don't quit. And how can we not quit? Because that's not who we are. The old person that we're trying to leave behind, that's not who we are. And I can't say this enough. Remember who you are now. It's not who you made yourself become, what act you cleaned up, but God, the God who spoke the universe into existence, who performed this miracle that gave you new life, made you new. This is who you really are now. So live new. Walk in newness in the manner that Jesus walked, bringing glory to God with all of our lives. Walk in newness in the manner that Jesus walked, sacrificially with love in our heart for others, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for our neighbors, for the lost. Walk in newness in the manner that Jesus walked, desiring to be holy and blameless, righteous by the power of the Holy Spirit. We battle sin. We flee sin. We turn from sin toward a life of holiness. We don't quit because this is who we are. We are new. It's a newness of life enabled by the glory of God, for the glory of God. But we must walk in it. You must walk in it. So some little bit of application before we celebrate communion, that union with Christ that enables our walk in this new year. Some hopefully practical ways that we can walk in newness, embracing a fresh start, right? I'm going to call you. No, I'm not. But I could call you on Quitters Friday and say, how's that newness going? I'll see you next Sunday. How's that newness going? You didn't give up. First, I've been saying this. Understand that this is who you are. This is so important. This realization that I'm new. We got a lot of stories in our lives, right? I'm Polish. I'm Italian. I'm German. You know, we think like this, or we feel like this, or we do these things. I've used that Germanness my whole life to explain how stubborn I am. I can't help it. Right? Or I was raised in this kind of home, or I've always done things this way, or this is a habit, or this is just who I am. We all got those. You got those. You know what they are. Now I want you to compare that to newness that is in Christ and what the Bible says you should be like. Who are you? That German, Polish, Italian, I don't know any other ones. What are the rest of you guys? They're Irish, there you go. That person from this place, that person who grew up in this family, or are you new in Christ? Remember who you are. Embrace who you really are. You aren't trying to achieve something on your own that's radical. The radical has already been done. So be who you really are. Second, acknowledge the reality that who you used to be is dead and the new you has been reborn. It's new. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You're new. Third, evaluate in your life what needs to change biblically. What needs the putting off and the putting on? We read it. I read you a long list. You got a whole Bible full of it. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got newness. God's given you everything. He's even given you this Sunday morning where you didn't expect that this was going to be what's being said to you. And now we're getting some aha moments. Excuse me. He's doing these things. He's motivating you. What needs to be put off and on? Pray for wisdom to see it. Pray for strength of the Holy Spirit to make these changes and then embrace the new and walk in it. Tell somebody. This is always the challenge, right? We'll say, I want to do this. I've noticed that I've been grumbling. I'm a complainer. I want this to be different, God. Your word says I shouldn't be like this. Help me to embrace who I am in Christ, right? But then we don't tell anybody. And we've got no brothers and sisters who love us who are going to help hold us accountable. When you tell somebody, hey, I've noticed that I'm a bit of a gossiper. I slander people. I want the Lord's moving in my heart to change that. I haven't been nice to people very much. I want you to know the Lord has been moving in my heart. Now you have somebody. Now it's out there. Now it's out there. Now the whole world knows you've been convicted of it, and God's doing something to change. And you've taken Satan's power over you away. You have brothers and sisters who will help you in that walk, not hold it over you. And if someone shares that with you, don't hold that over them. Now you help them. You pray for them. You encourage them in that walk. And walk. Don't keep going about things the same way that you always have and expecting different results. That's a definition of insanity. Ask God to show you some little things to walk in a new way and not go back. Try things differently. Try a reading plan for reading your Bible. Or memorization. I'm going to put in the bulletin this year some tips for helping you memorize scripture. If you've never done it, try it. If you haven't done it in a while, try it. Bible reading plan. Get with each other. Say, hey, let's go through a reading plan together. Kids, get with your parents. Talk to them about a way you can read through parts of the Bible this year. I mentioned this to some people. This is a hard one. Try sitting in a different spot here at church. What? Yeah. Whoa, Pastor, slow down. That's not in the Bible. Sometimes we get so in our habits. Church becomes the thing. We're always in a spot. And what happens if we come and a visitor actually showed up? And where are they sitting? In our spot. Then we're not, yay, a visitor is here. We're angry. We're grumbling and complaining because that visitor who wanted to hear Jesus preached has the audacity to sit in our spot. Right? We get a little too attached. There's a lot of them open right up here in front. Look at all these. We're not Catholic. Everybody doesn't have to sit back in the back and head for the door as soon as church ends. Sit. Differently. Try something new. Try something different. Get a different perspective. Serve in a new way that is outside of your comfort zone. Outside of your comfort zone. Give in a new way, sacrificially. Love in a new way, not in a way that seeks your own good out of it, but in a way that seeks the other person's good and trust God that He will provide the love that you need. Be newly intentional in your relationships with each other, with one another. The world has become one where we seldom have to see each other. Right? Nobody rings. I mean, my doorbell gets rung all the time. But nobody else rings each other's doorbell, right? You get kind of shocked if somebody shows up to your door. Calling is even becoming a faux pas. Why didn't they just text? You know, be intentional on your relationships with each other. Meet with one another. Plan to see each other. Have intentional fellowship. I lost my place here. Ephesians 4:17. This I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And he's not saying this to them to say, you know, oh, those bad unbelievers, those bad Gentiles. He's saying, this is the fruit of a walk like this, okay? But this is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. Don't live like unbelievers, like the rest of the world does. Be intentional. Be intentional to meet with each other, to fellowship with each other, to open up with one another. Do Bible studies. Come, we have all sorts of events and things going on at the church that I'm constantly saying stuff about. Paul's announcing in the bulletins, things going on. You want something to be fresh and new in your walk with the Lord? Show up to one of them. Open up. Be vulnerable to one another. Let others be vulnerable with you. Seek joy and new things, things above, so that your heart will be attached to new things and things that are above. Be new. It's a new year. You're reminded we have a new start in life in Jesus Christ. We are new. Walk in newness. As the men come forward to prepare to celebrate that newness that we have in Jesus, don't just take communion the same old way, okay? I want you to think on these things. I want you to pray as they're distributed. Let somebody elbow you and let you know that there are, you know, the communion's in front of you. But pray, Lord, what have you made new in me that I have not yet embraced? Lord Jesus, as I take this bread, I celebrate your body, which was given for my old self to die with you. And as I drink this wine, I celebrate your blood that purchased my newness of life in your new covenant. Think on these things. Pray. Take communion in a new way, in a way that's thoughtful and prayerful. Celebrates this newness we have in our God.